Blog Talk Radio.
From the vanquishing reign of King James to the jaw-dropping indifference of Lynn Ellen DeGeneres, and broadcasting from the silvery new, tired, not tired, but new tired, hitched mini Teardrop Airstream trailer. Kelly O'Connell on the move here. 6:06, and it is the 10th of June, and it was, guys, it was one heck of a game last night, and if you didn't watch it, shame on you. It was, I'm still almost kind of spaced out because I came home and saw the game was starting kind of spaced out. By the time I turned in, it was almost halftime. So basically what you had was the Golden State Warriors showing up to the Cavaliers court. And I've got to tell you, it was really, this is kind of a special finals because of the two MVPs going against one another. Steph Curry, who's without a doubt one of the most amazing players that you've ever seen, and he's just he's a guy that you just feel like he can hit any shot at any time, and yet he has been underperforming in this against the other MVP, which is LeBron James. And so, you know, I've actually gotten a lot of respect for LeBron in this. I never was really a huge fan of his, but I see the way that how seriously he's taking it. He went home to his home city. And not to be redundant, but he went home and he's lost two of the top three scorers on the team, and he's just putting the team on his back and trying to carry them into the promised land. And it's just a joy to watch how serious and methodical he is and how he refuses to fall into, you know, self-pity or whatever if he gets fouled and he doesn't get the foul. There was a couple of real nasty fouls on him at the end of the last game, not this game, but the last game, and he didn't get them, and they kept on. So the teams that go up 2-1, as the Cavaliers have, will win 85% of their game, the finals. So it's highly likely that the Cavaliers are going to win. We've got a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, it's Patty Riley. I was just wondering, is all the tyranny and dictatorship over, and we're doing good here in Cruces, lots of jobs coming?
Well, unfortunately, King James, LeBron James cannot deal with that. We've got to put that on our own shoulders, Patty. What do you think?
Oh, I have. Everybody really ought to get them. I haven't heard one complaint from the county yet.
Patty,
city, I'm hitting hard today.
Patty, look, this thing that's going on in the county is just, it's shocking to see that there's this this guy that's running everything that he doesn't even show up to work, I guess, Lynn Ellens. There was a very upset group of people at the county commission meeting.
Oh, was it last night? when was it?
I don't know.
I'm busy over here trying to fight tyranny.
Well, I got you.
And these stupid fools in these big government centers. Today's the city. Oh, it's even more shocking.
What's happening, citizen journalist?
Well, there's some people. I just believe that there's just too many boards and too many people that have too many conflicting interests on these boards that are in public office.
Give us a few names here.
Why don't we go to the transfer, the waste, the recycling?
Okay.
Go look it up. It's AAC. Wait, hang on, I got the acronyms for you. They love those acronyms so very much. It's ASCMV Board of Directors. See, all of that's illegal. They shouldn't be on those boards. People like, they're making policy on those boards, people, and they're doing it at our cost, and they're probably getting paid. I don't know that for sure, but I'm going to tell you what, they're making policy that affects every single one of us. Then they go back to their seats on the commission or council, and they decide our fate.
Patty, we need some names of these.
Okay, well, I thought so far, let's see, let me talk. I know that Miguel Silva is in charge of the board of that one.
Well,
and he also owns a private trash company.
No, I don't think his family did own the landfill company, but I don't think that he's running that anymore. I'm gonna
that's why I'm gonna look into this one today. But I did finish up yesterday on Billy Garrett.
And
slammed him to the wall.
Well, how'd you do that?
Because he had his own little foundation as well, and it doesn't seem like I picked apart every word for everybody.
Where?
Put it out
how?
There. I picked apart
where?
Each paragraph on the wording
how?
On their dialectic,
where?
And
how?
I explained the dialectic.
Patty.
It's on my Facebook.
Patty. All right, Facebook. Let's be concise with our answers here. People are going to find this hard to follow. So you tore him to shred on your Facebook.
Yes, I did. I took his foundation, which is the Okotio Institute for Social Justice.
Oh, my God.
Don't we like those words?
I like
social justice needs to be
like
defined
justice.
Correctly.
I like social and I like justice, but not together.
No, anyway. Me either. Yeah, so he has the Okotio Institute.
Patty,
look at it. Pick apart
Patty.
That. Pick apart
Patty,
that
Patty,
thing.
For
see
God's
who
sake.
Else is in
Patty,
there. It's
Patty,
interesting.
For God's sake. Patty, for God's sakes, back off the sugar in your coffee. You're gonna burn
gotta
out.
Go
I got another
coffee.
Call. Patty, got another
bye.
Call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, Kelly. Rob.
Rob. Hey, how's it? I hope you haven't overloaded on the sugar in your coffee like Patty.
I can work on it if you want.
Well, let's work on some commentary here. What's going on?
So I just wanted to give you a heads up. Tomorrow, the 11th, at 9 a.m. in the County Commission Chambers, the Donna Planning and Zoning Commission is going to try to implement what they call Plan 2040.
Rob, that's Donya Anna, if you don't mind.
Okay. It's basically a clone of Agenda 21. And
where
so,
is this
you know,
happening? What time?
9 a.m. tomorrow morning at the County Commission Chambers. It's the Donya Anna Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you.
And they're going to try to get people off farms and, you know, make everybody live in hovels and, you know, high rises downtown. It's pretty insidious.
You know, this leadership in this county starting to remind me of a commandant and staff at a concentration camp for some reason. Work makes you free, you know?
What is that, mock something free?
Well, no, you know, that's over a Dachau. It said work makes you free. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's like these people are putting out these leadership models like Mr. Golden Earring, Billy Garrett. And the leadership model will, if you follow it long enough, will lead to total economic collapse and a lack of any functional economy. But that's leadership because that's what they call leadership.
Yeah, it's I've got another word for it, but you're on the air, so.
Well, you do. Will you go to that meeting and do a report for us? Hello.
I'm just trying to think of what I have planned. I'll go.
Right.
I'll go.
And then give us a report.
But you know, it shouldn't be just me there taking notes. We should pack that room. You know what I mean?
All right. So why should people be there?
If anything else other than to put eyes on these people while they're trying to mess up our future, you know, maybe there'll be commentary time from the citizens. Who knows? You know, I'm not sure on how these things work.
The reason that running the show is like being a substitute teacher sometimes. The reason that in terms of control of the classroom, but the reason that people should show up to this thing is because it's just like these other plans they're putting out there. They seem like pie in the sky. They seem crazy, but they're actually plans that are going to be implemented, and everybody's going to be under the yoke of the government, and your freedoms are going to. Good morning. It's 6:32, and it is about 70 degrees outside. Going to be a high of 96, going to be a scorcher today. Now, I'm going to tell you about why this person helped these two murderers escape, why they think that she may have done it, but you're going to be flabbergasted when I tell you this, but anyway, it's a sign of the days that we're living in. But let me get you some headlines first here. Disappointment in Obama leads some blacks to ask, is it even worth voting? Michelle Obama says it's tough, and she struggles in her notes in a Chicago graduation. Maybe, then again, she learned how to read in Chicago. Then all bets would be off. They say Republicans are rushing Obama trade before the public can read it. Haven't we learned our lesson in passing legislation that people haven't read before? Shouldn't that be illegal? How is it legal to vote on something you haven't read? I mean, isn't that a precursor to, you know? Most people oppose the new Obama trade powers that are being suggested. Secret negotiations have been underway for 6 years. You know, these big GOP guys act like their reputation depends on whether they get this trade bill done. In the meantime, it's all big government and big business. It's depressing. WikiLeaks has shared on this. Big pharma, big gains, big pharmaceuticals. International system designed to maximize monopolies. You know, this giant international corporate business structure that's been erected is really works against the interests of individual countries a lot of times. They say drug costs could soar from this. Paul Ryan is the helper of the president. It's pretty sad. And so anyway, there's a backlash against it in Europe. And in addition, Lynch, the new attorney general, who apparently has a new hairdo in this picture, is expanding global prosecution powers, and our courts are becoming the international court. So is that something that we should be doing? Justice Department orders website to turn over name of commenters in the meanwhile, and the United States is trying to take over, or has said that it's going to take over the right to tax and regulate the internet. In the meanwhile, we're handing over control of the internet to this illusion of an international body, the United Nations. And by the way, the United Nations, I just saw in a story in one of these UK papers yesterday, United Nations workers have slept with hundreds of Haitian women. And basically, it seems like trading food for sex kind of a thing. But the United Nations is going to save the world, I'm sure. All right. So the secret here, what happened in this situation where the prisoners got out and they used power tools to saw through the floor and get away. And now they've been seen walking down a road miles away in the middle of a storm. The reason they say that Joyce Mitchell helped these guys is because one of the two murderers was very well endowed. And that's a quote. One of the investigators have said that. Now, these two guys worked in a tailor shop that Joyce Mitchell ran. And so it's from there they think that they got the power tools. So very well endowed. Huh? Here's a little clip on Mitchell. Her son said she wouldn't help anybody escape. That's silly. And what's he supposed to say? In other words, that kid basically admitted that his mom was involved in that, as far as I could tell. Here, we got a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, guys. Mike.
Good morning, Mike. What's going on?
Well, I just wonder, this guy must have, who got the power tool? Joyce?
Depends on how you're defining power tool, but it sounds like... It sounds like they're, anyway, and obviously the kid himself said, well, if she did help, there was a reason she helped him, all right? They didn't have these things, you know, stuck in their mattress for years waiting to use them. So she helped these guys escape. She had a reason, which, according to the investigator, involved a very well-endowed theory on this case, you know?
And... These guys escape crawling through a manhole?
Well, eventually, yeah. But that's how they got out of the ground. But they cut a hole. Oh, this is like Shawshank Redemption. They cut a hole in the floor. They get inside of the wall. Between the cells are the, you know, these pipes and everything, and they're crawling down there. And then they get down to the ground and go underground into the sewer, I think, and then traveled in the sewer and then came up X number of yards away and popped out like, you know, rats out of a wood pile. And so they got away. They know this lady helped. The question is, I mean, and that's why she's in the hospital with a panic attack. But because these guys got out and she's the most obvious person to help them. But they don't know all the details yet.
Kelly, who's that guy that played in Shawshank Redemption?
There's two guys. There's the there's a white actor and a black actor. The one guy that was in Driving Miss Daisy, and then there was the other one.
Timothy,
what's his face?
Yeah, they say that people are calling him and asking him about the escape.
He's so
liberal. He said it's kind of like asking DiCaprio about why boats sink.
Well, I mean, he's so liberal, he probably did help. All right, Mike. So anyway, thanks for the call. I'll talk to you later. All right, folks, we're way behind on our breaks here. And 641, got a little weather for you here, and we will be right back. I got great stories just oozing out here. All right, so we've got this story of this lady in New York that's helped this very well-endowed prisoner escape. And they saw somebody walking down the road in the storm with carrying a guitar, and there was a guitar in the cell, and they put two and two together. But you know what? Here is the weird thing to me. You look at this prison, and it's the big high security prison in New York. And these guys, I mean, this is a pretty brazen. Escape, and it just you look at this place, and it doesn't even look like a prison, really. I mean, it looks like a school or something. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of changes at that prison, but it's incredible that these guys were able to do that. And without this lady, I'm sure none of it would be. I assume that she's going to end up in prison herself, so probably. All right, so I'm looking for any local news. There's just not a lot going on, except there is a ton of stuff going on with Lynn Ellen DeGeneres. Now, let me just ask you this. Do you think Lynn Ellen should resign? 523-1450. There was a lot of outrage and disbelief at the county commission meeting. From what I understand, I was not there. But I find it interesting. This is like this prison escape, you know. How did this happen? And I've got sympathy for the fact that this guy has got had some bad eggs on the staff. But it's okay. So this is what I understand. And I actually talked to some people in the know. I can't really. Obviously mention any names, but that Lynn Ellens did not show up very often, was not, you know, not in, he was an absentee landlord, and that he, I, you know, how old is Lynn Ellens? He's like, what, 80? You know, when they had this gay marriage thing, it, I don't know why, but I had the feeling that he was kind of manipulated into it by the gay evangelist, Bill McCamley, the Swami of Salami, the Shah of Sodom. And I just had this feeling that this guy was not really a radical, but that someone had come up and kind of massaged him, you know what I mean? It's kind of got him pointed in that direction. And it really made me wonder at that time how competent he was. So anyway, no matter what side of that debate you're on, it made me wonder about Lynn Ellens in general. Now we find out that there were just a lot of things going on there, obviously, by definition, the arrests and the investigation and everything that shouldn't have been going on. But somebody told me that, off the record, of course, but this is not a stretch to imagine, that there were people working there that Lynn or whoever else was hiring people, they were warned, don't hire this person, they're a bad person, or they've got something in their past, and that they went ahead and were hired. Now, maybe Lynn wasn't doing the hiring, but if he wasn't, was he overseeing it? If he wasn't overseeing it, what was he doing down there? Now, I asked, you heard me ask if you were listening yesterday, I asked Mr. Rubel if he thought that they should resign. And the reason that I asked him that, if the Lynn Ellens should resign, is because he had said basically he either knew and didn't do anything about it, or he didn't know and should have. And I said, therefore, do you think you should resign? And Walt said no. But I mean, it's, why would, you know, you got to let him serve his term out. So why? I mean, this is for county commission. This is for the president or whoever else. If you think that somebody is not doing the job that they were voted in, why do they get a mulligan? Why do they get a rubber stamp? Why is it in the nature of things itself that no matter what a person is doing, unless they're arrested for doing something, you know, they're caught in some big crime, that they have to be allowed to go on? We've got the craziest idea of leadership in this country that's developed. And it is not the servant leadership model that we used to have in the old days. Sacrifice, and people enter public life and they a lot of times put aside the opportunity to make money. Look at Harry Reid. He's become a multimillionaire as the head of the Senate. How did that happen? He spent his whole life in government. I can tell you how it happened, but anyway. What is Lynn Ellens doing? And why do we have this kind of like almost iconic these, somebody gets voted into office and then the gods themselves say, do not touch this person, touch the Lord's anointed, you know, get rid of this model. If Lynn Ellens is not up to the job, ask him to resign. What is so precious about this one guy hanging on to his job? Why? Just let him go. Put somebody else in there. Isn't it leadership? Isn't the country based on leadership by representation? You know, representative government representing the will of the people? Isn't that the model? I don't know. I mean, maybe I missed something. So here's the thing. If this situation is such that Lynn Ellen didn't know what was going on, is it because of his age? Is he senile? Is he becoming demented or something? Is he easily influenced? Did he just not show up and think the shop would run itself? I mean, I don't know, but I mean, what is so, I don't understand this idea. And by the way, Gil Sorg has emailed me and said that he wants to come on the show, so we'll arrange that as soon as possible. But I don't understand the general premise that no matter what, this idea that was kind of floated by the anti-recall people that leave them alone. How you get people out of office is during the next election cycle. I totally reject that. That's ridiculous. Now, whether they should have gone after the city council to get rid of them, the three members is a separate argument, but the notion that we can't do it, it's an illegitimate use of whatever you want to call it, government or the right to recall officials. Wouldn't it be better if people thought if they didn't do their job that they'd lose it and get removed? I mean, obviously, right? The notion that you can't remove people from office until they get voted out every 2 or 4 years is nonsense. That is what's wrong with this county. And you got somebody like Billy Goldenear and Garrett coming along saying, I've got this vision for the future. Did you know, by the way, I just want to put this out there, the Democratic Party does not support this guy. And you're thinking the whole time, oh, he's just doing the will of the Democratic Party. I've heard from a number of sources that they're very upset with him, that they want the sheriff's department to be upgraded, to have new cars, to be able to communicate across the entire county, and that they're not happy with him, but they don't know what to do. He's a person who's so far to the left, he doesn't even fit in with the local party, and I'm sure they feel embarrassed about the guy. But what is it? What's so special about Billy Goldenear and Garrett, that he can just do what he wants and say, this is the vision that's been given to me? I mean, this is why I keep telling you, this far leftism is a religious movement. The universe is calling out to this guy to put this 20-year plan down and to not support the sheriff's office and all these different things, and tax, and not even have a purpose for the taxation, just to grow the government. It's absolutely ludicrous, and it's what the founding fathers, believe it or not, fought against: mindless taxation and totally ignoring people's opinions. All right. 6:53, we'll be right back. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. It's 6:55. It's 6:55 and... 6:55 and 6:56 actually, and what's going on here in the county? I mean, isn't it appalling to see this? I mean, Lynn Allen's. I mean, he might be a great guy, but there's a lot of great guys. Maybe Billy Goldenearing Garrett is a wonderful person, and you know, maybe he's great to hang around with and have a beer or pinochle with or talk about the environment or whatever. But is he really a great person to be running everything? I mean, this is, I swear, I look at this guy, I think of Gilligan's Island. You know, you've got this person who's been trained as he was a forest ranger. In what sense does that, equip someone to come in and run a county with hundreds of thousands of people in it? And here's the sad thing is his decision-making as obstinate and obdurate and self-righteous as it apparently is, and going against both parties, going against the sheriff, acting like he's above any realistic sense of decorum or anything like that. It's affecting people. There could be tragedies related to this. And this guy is got a hippie constitution. You know, he's sailing under this tie-dyed flag, and it is like this. It is just as ridiculous as any of these episodes of Gilligan's Island, you know. So, I mean, I think that really I was proud of the people who went to the county commission meeting and asked if Lynn Ellen should maybe think about going to Golden Acres Retirement Home ASAP sooner rather than later. If you're not there anyway, if you're not interested enough to be on your job, retire, Lynn. Yeah, you've had a great run. The gay evangelist helped bring in gay marriage to Donya Anna. You and your family can be proud of yourselves. But we need somebody who's keeping an eye on the shop down there. And, I mean, it's an embarrassment. You know, the national news is picking this up. We are running this fraud out of the county commission, you know. All right, so That's my thoughts on that. But I got the sheriff. I've got the district attorney coming in tomorrow, and they're going to talk to you about this white collar fraud commission and the resistance that they felt as well. And trying to push around the sheriff, not a good idea. He's a nice guy. He's a mild mannered guy on the surface, but you get him pissed off, and I've already seen it, and he fights back. And that's what this county needs. All right, it is 6:59, Kelly O'Connell Show, and it's around 70 degrees. It's going to be real hot today, and we'll be back after a break on the hour. It is 7:06, and it is about 70 degrees outside. It's going to be in the mid-90s today. It's going to be a scorcher. And then the low is supposed to be 69 degrees. 96 is the high, 69 is the low. So it's going to be pretty warm out there. Now, do you think that Lynn Ellens should resign? Or do you agree with Walt Rubel, who says, let him finish his time? Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand it because I don't understand this idea that you've got the people have to be allowed to finish. I mean, what is that based on? I mean, it's like, you know, what part of their job is guaranteed to them? It seems to me the one job that is not guaranteed to anybody is one of these leadership positions that is, you know, highly sought after and respected. So I don't think it would be bad. I think it would be great if Lynn Ellens retired just out of the principle that he's a public official and he really has not done the job the job that he was retained for. And the last thing that I remember him doing that made any kind of impact was, the gay marriage thing. And I thought, which was a misuse of his position simply because, you know, that's a politically, and now it's part of state law, and you can say, well, he was a visionary, but I really think it more along the lines of, it's a straying into politics, and, you know, that's not why he's there. So, you know, what can I say? I'm sure he's not a bad guy, but that's not the issue. Now, there is a lot more going on in that story that I've been informed about, but, you know, there's only so many things. But here somebody said to me, look, there were a lot of things that were going on in the county commission, and when people did things that were wrong, they didn't get fired. They either swept it under the rug or there'd be a meeting and they'd say, okay, don't do this again. I said, well, give me some examples. They said, well, one time there was a girl that was working in the commission, did some function, and she used a county vehicle to go to NMSU and confront the present girlfriend of her ex-boyfriend. And another county person went with her and went over there. And I said, yeah, okay, you know. He goes, well, what if that turned into a fight? You know, what if that turned into a real incident? Now, that is the county on the hook, you know, and who's going to pay, you know? So, but that was just from what he was saying, the tip of the iceberg, that there was a lot of stuff going on a regular basis. And one of the things that was kind of concerning was this idea that the county was hiring people that it either didn't do a background check on or didn't care that they were either not qualified or that they had something in their background that suggested that they shouldn't have been hired. And maybe that's true of all these people that were arrested. I really don't know, but we're going to get into it tomorrow. I guess that RJ Hernandez is not coming on today. And he was seen down at the county courthouse yesterday, and he was trying to get the ear of a judge, and I think that he was asked to leave. But basically, I've heard very conflicting stories about what's his connection, and I can't really pass those on without knowing if they're accurate. So anyway, I just don't see if Lynn Ellen's DeGeneres leaves how that harms the county. I think it helps the county. I think it would help to communicate to people like Billy Golden Earring Garrett that there is an accounting and that it does matter what you do and you can't. I mean, this idea that these people are getting involved in situations where they're exerting their will, you know, this willfulness. I've been elected to this position. I won. My opponent lost. I'm going to do what I want. That is not an American idea. Now, if this was a crisis, I understand. If there had to be hard decisions made during an extreme crisis, and maybe there wasn't popular support for things that really had to be done, I understand. But, I mean, this is not in the middle of a crisis. This is creating a crisis. Bad leadership at the county is creating a crisis that everybody is having to live with and accept down here. I just, you know, this is a battle that's being played out in which there's a person who's extremely far to the left, Billy Garrett, and he's, in my opinion, probably looking down at everybody who disagrees with him, doesn't have the background to be in the position that he's in, the training. And he's got this idea of what we need to do in the future that's based on an ideology. It is not based on common sense, economic, or political theory. It is based on this very willful hippie mentality of saving the planet and keeping the economy down and doing a lot of taxation and building up a tax empire here in which we're enriching the county, not through economic growth, but through this tax and spend regime. It's real. It's a terrible thing to see play out. The only thing that's worse about it is the arrogance, the mendacity, the just the absolute obdurate willfulness, the I'm right. The rest of the world can go jump in the lake. It doesn't matter if you disagree with me. I know the truth. I'm enlightened. You know, I'm the person here that is the only person who's fit to be a leader because I have the vision. It's terrible to see this, and it is so misbegotten. And I'll just throw this out to you again. What if global warming is not true? What if the world is not overpopulated? What if having a strong economy doesn't harm but helps people? What if the dictates of Karl Marx's vision are false? I'd say that to Billy Garrett or Wayne Hancock or anybody else that is caught up in this hippie mentality. This is not the 1960s. Marxism was disproved long ago. The places that have followed the dictates of this ideology have crashed and burned. I mean, you look at Detroit. Detroit was the number one most high-tech and best-earning city probably in the entire world. I know it was in the United States. And so you've got decades of bad leadership in Detroit, and have you seen Detroit? Half of the city is gone. Half the people or more have left it. Like two-thirds of the people moved out. The great car factories are shut down because they could make them cheaper somewhere else. The model city idea that is run off big government totally failed, and now they're plowing. The fire department is allowing houses there that catch on fire that are empty to just burn to the ground because they have to get rid of them anyway. They're plowing these things under. They want to have the largest urban urban farming place in the country, which they're well on the way to. They're selling houses for a dollar. I mean, and that's what happens when you follow this hippie mentality, that the logical outcome is total collapse. And I would ask you, Mr. Hancock, And Mr. Garrett, is that really what you want? Because history is going to repeat itself if we go in that direction. Anyway, it is 7:15, and you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. Going to have Kiki in tomorrow. Going to have Mark D'Antonio in tomorrow. It's going to be a phenomenal show. We do have a call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly.
Your name is Mike. Okay. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for identifying yourself. Yes. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, when did this degenerate, or what is his name, Ellis? Or
Lynn Ellens DeGeneres is the title that I've given him, but so Lynn Ellens.
When did he take office? What date?
This is his second term, so whatever day that was. He's been in there, what, 7 years, 6 years?
Same as Obama.
I guess so.
So when they say he wants to finish his program or whatever these Marxists are doing, what he's saying is, you know, until Obama's done, it's like a agenda that they have, and let it ride out until 2016.
Right.
People are like Marxists or something. They got some kind of agenda, and they got the will to do it. And this, it sounds to me like this Billy Garrett, golden earring Garrett, sounds like another Bill Ayers.
Yeah, I mean he looks like Bill Ayers with the little ponytail. I mean, these guys enter, this is what they do in my opinion. They enter into this traditional society. They're gonna do things that people who are conformist, people that conform to the society, do to take part in that society, but they're going to let you know that they're really not conformist. So they wear a little earring, or they've got their hair long, because really what they're representing is the hippie constitution. They are opposed to society, and these people invariably think they're the smartest person in the universe because they're fooling everybody. I'm a hippie. I got an earring. I got a ponytail. I'm going to run everything. I'm going to do whatever I want because I know it's the truth, and you can just suck on it, you know? It's terrible to see it played out, though. I mean, there's a lot of people that are depending on the county to make good decisions. We got another call here, Mike. Thanks. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Bob.
Yes, Bob. How you doing today? Glad you called, and what's up?
I just wondered, where's Ben Rawson?
Well, you know, Ben is very, very busy, and he told me that he had a conflict on Wednesday and that it's not possible for him to be coming in regularly like he did, but he's still going to be coming in.
Okay, I just didn't hear him last week, didn't hear him this week. I just wondered what was going on.
Well, Bob, I remember you called and said that was your favorite part of the show, so I have to reluctantly inform you that. He'll be back. It's just that he's got a brand new baby. He's running a business. He's in the county commission. He's just got all these things going on.
Yeah, I understand that, too. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Have a good day. All right, folks. So Ben's not doing his Wednesday gig. All right. Let's take 719, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450. We'll be back.
But we can control the temperature in our own home with a Fujitsu.
Well, just kind of going over one of these stories here that talked about how the sheriff had confronted, and basically in this meeting, and I heard this from a couple of different people, but it's here in KVIA, that Sheriff Kiki Vijo got up and basically what I was informed is he got up to say something and then Golden Earring Garrett said, not so soon, son, step back, and tried to put him against the wall, and the Vigil refused to be put against the wall. And so there was kind of a back and a kind of a tense moment. And I heard that after it came out that the county commission was not going to support funding the sheriff's office, and there's a couple of absolutely fascinating things that I've learned recently. The one that everybody knows is that there were $4 million phantom dollars put into the budget, but then taken away. They were supplanted. So they wanted people to think they were paying for the sheriff's office, like nobody would figure it out if they didn't. Number one. And number two, there's another $2.5 million that is missing. And now I'm not saying that it's missing, gone, nobody could ever find out where it went, but it's like $2.5 million for the sheriff's office that is unaccounted for, and the sheriff was going to use for something, or was going to try to, and that it was not available. So we're talking $6 million, right? $6.5 million. It's really terribly sad to think that they would put these pet projects, wherever this money ended up going, they would put the pet projects in front of cars that were reliable and a radio system that was reliable. Doesn't Billy Garrett feel any sense of responsibility for people that are out in the hinterlands, out in the outlying areas? What if there's a tragedy out there and they can't raise, you know, they can't get a hold of the sheriff because of the communications issues? All right. So County Manager Julia Brown said there have been allegations of misconduct, and Sheriff Vigil warned that he's not playing around when it comes to public corruption, and that he's going to go after anybody who he thinks he has evidence for. But Julia Brown, I thought it was very weird that they sent her in to fire RJ Hernandez. Now, number one, it doesn't make any sense to anybody that it's an accident that he was fired. There had to be a little bit of payback there. But they claim it's just a coincidence he was fired at the same time that he happened to point out this corruption scam. Now, Lynn Ellen said, part of my staff are severely distressed, to say the least, that members of the public consider them to be crooks. Well, from what I understand, some of the staff at the county commission or the county clerk's office are crooks. Pretty much everybody agrees on that. So why would he get up and say that? Ellen's told the county commission audience, or the meeting that they had on this, he's conducting notary and ethics training for all staff. Now everybody's asking, why didn't you do this before? And then Julia Brown says, I will repeat what I have said since I became county manager 18 years ago. I have zero tolerance for bullying, for retaliation, and for any form of discrimination, but RJ is still out. And Kiki Vigil has said that we've had several callers tell me they called into the county to complain about wrongdoing and nothing's been done. So I just wanted to let you all know, if you're breaking the law in the county government, we'll find you. And he also said that he takes every call seriously and that every one of them is going to be investigated. And I know that Mark D'Antonio is taking it all very seriously, too. So here's the main thing. We need some funding for the sheriff's department. We need these sheriffs that are putting their lives on the line every day to be paid what is a living wage. Hey, Billy Garrett, how about a living wage for the sheriffs, huh? You want living wages for everybody else. What is your beef with the sheriff anyway, Billy? Now, somebody came up to me and said, what if, here's a huge hypothetical. I said, all right, I'm ready. County clerk there's wrongdoing at the county clerk, whether Lynn Ellens knew or not. We assume he didn't. The assumption is he just didn't know what was going on. He just was not plugged in enough to pay any attention. That's what I was told. There's wrongdoing there. Now, the county commission repeatedly refuses to fund the sheriff's office. What if the county commission knew about the wrongdoing and didn't want an investigation? I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying, wouldn't that be a great plot to a movie? All right. Let's take a little break. 728, and I got great stories for you when we come back, Kelly O'Connell. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back. And it is about 70 degrees outside. It's going to be in the mid-90s today. It is going to be hot, so get ready for it. You knew that was coming. All right, I've got a story that I thought was kind of be a nice break from all the politics. And it's also interesting. It's also kicked up a little bit of dust on the issue of dinosaurs. Now, there are a couple of issues here. They found a bit of blood in a, and I think I might have told you about this earlier, they found some blood in a dinosaur bone. Now, it was the largest Tyrannosaurus rex ever found. The femur was too big to fit into a helicopter, I think it was, and so they had to break it in half. When they broke it in half, they found what looked to be fresh blood inside. Now, there has been blood that has been found in a fossil that they claim is not well preserved. It brings up the idea, the possibility, that there may be blood, number one. Here's a couple of different issues here. Number one, there could be blood in a lot of these fossils that is liquid. Now, there was a huge debate when this came out, and the debate was over whether dinosaurs could be as old as they claim, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of years old, if they had fresh blood in them. That debate caused one New Earth person, a creationist who is a scientist, who wrote an article on it, to be fired. It was then that the problem was then supposedly solved by somebody who said it was the iron inside the blood that kept it from coagulating. Now, there's another issue that's come up, which is, were dinosaurs warm-blooded or cold-blooded? So anyway, I've got a few clips for you here, but here's my question. I've never heard of bones being found of a human or an animal that were not petrified, where they broke them open and the blood was still in there. How is it possible that these animals, these fossils are tens of millions of years old with fresh blood in them, or blood that's liquid? Or in one of these animals, they found what appeared to be veins that were still pliable. I mean, it's totally unheard of. So how could these animals be so old? It would seem to lend credence to individuals who believe that the Earth is either younger or that animal life was not as old. And then the other issue is the question of whether the dinosaurs were warm-blooded and cold-blooded. And they just found the first warm-blooded fish a few weeks, a few months ago. Here's a few clips on this dinosaur blood issue, though. Yeah. All right, and here's another little clip for you on this issue. And, without further ado. All right, so that is the issue, and it gives a lot of comfort to these new Earth, young Earth, researchers and scientists and Christian ministers and stuff who are arguing against evolution. So how is it possible that blood would be liquid or would be in good shape if these animals are tens of millions of years old? I don't see how iron would solve that problem, but I'm not a scientist. So, by the way, Jurassic World is coming up, and this movie, which is kind of a sequel to Jurassic Park. So anyway, it is 7:39. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. Call in, we'll be right back. It's 7:42. It is about 70 degrees outside. 96 is going to be the high, 69 the low. Doesn't look like there's any rain today. Now, I've got a question to ask you. This is not a partisan question, but your answer may be partisan. If the president's time in office were to be evaluated right now, would he be considered a success or a failure? And what have been his successes? What have been his failures? Now, if Obamacare fails, if the Supreme Court says that the these things that they're voting on right now or they're going to be doing in this case, this subsidies are illegal, and the thing fails, or if it fails on its own some other way, would he still be considered a success? And I was thinking about that last night, and I think a great deal of the president's success, at least in his mind, the mind of his supporters, is tied to Obamacare. Here's what he says about whether he says it would be unfair to the poor. And not only that, he says that the Supreme Court really doesn't have any business looking into this case. So here's a little from him. All right, so the president is saying don't get rid of this program because you're going to punish the poor. It's already become a part of it's been woven into American life. Now, here is from The Week magazine, theweek.com, saying, and this guy's name is, it's a woman, Shika Dalmia. I don't know if she's Indian or continental Indian or whatever, but She says that the Supreme Court could go in and gut Obamacare, but she says outside of that, it's already failing. And her argument is there's only been 3 million people enrolled in the exchanges, and that's far fewer than we're supposed to be in. I think it was supposed to be up to 10 million or more. And in addition to that, far fewer of the enrollees are from the ranks of the uninsured. Now, one of the ways that they were going to save money for healthcare for the United States was when the kind of people that use the emergency room as their primary care doctor, those people would be forced to, these so-called freeloaders, would be forced to sign up for insurance. But they said they found out that these people really haven't been doing that much. And so the bending of the curve, the cost curve, has never really gone down. As a matter of fact, here's something that I announced on the show the other day. In New Mexico, market leader Healthcare Service Corporation is asking for an average jump of 51% for 2016 for Blue Cross Blue Shield, the biggest insurance insurer in Tennessee. And I can't remember how many people are affected by that, but it's a lot. Biggest insurer in Tennessee, Blue Cross Blue Shield, has requested an average of a 36% increase. In Maryland, 30% increase. In Oregon, 25% increase. So anyway, it's going on and on. And why is this happening? Many reasons. One is insurers are anticipating the costs that they have to absorb and pent-up demand of years long. But this lady says the biggest culprit by far that companies cite is the exchange population is weighted too heavily towards riskier and older patients with multiple chronic conditions. All right, so you remember this thing, if you have a pre-existing condition, you can't get normal insurance, but now you can. So all of these people kind of flooded in, and it made perfect sense. But anyway, the way that this thing was calculated turned out to be overly optimistic. And now the question is it going to fail? And if it does fail, what's next? And the Republicans, being like they are, have said, we're going to save it. So it's crazy days. It really is. Okay, 7:49, and I got a few weird stories for you when we come back. You're listening to AM Walsh Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 4253 1450. And it is 7:52. We've got a strange story about we talked yesterday about the WNBA lesbian couple that had met, become engaged in 2 weeks, had then gotten a house. And the day they moved in the house, they got into a fist fight. And the one had suffered a concussion and spinal injuries from getting clocked in the head with a piece of luggage. Then they went ahead and got married, and now they're getting it annulled in 28 days because the one is pregnant, the other one's unhappy, and both of them were very recently dating men anyway. So virtually all lesbians date men at some point, although male homosexuals do not typically date women. All right, so now there's a story that's come out that a person had come up to Whitney Houston's people and said, we've got proof that, you know, I think they talked to her father, who was her manager. We have proof that Whitney is a lesbian. And basically, we're going to come out, we're going to out her. And it was around the time of the that Bodyguard movie that had come out. And so the father came up with a deal, and they were asking for $250,000, and it's not clear if he paid that amount or did something else, but basically that issue went away. And from what I understand, Whitney Houston, there's a lot of evidence that she was a lesbian for the first part of her career, until it came to the point where she looked like she could lose everything, I guess. If it happened now, it would be celebrated, of course, but so she ended up marrying Bobby Brown sometime shortly after that. All right, here's an unrelated story. A lady driving down the highway in Florida hit by a lightning bolt, and she was shaken to the core. Sounds scary. Smelled like acetone. All right, so here we go. Now, more weird news. This is from the Daily Mail. Would you plump up your vagina with fillers? Top cosmetic doctor warns of risky new trend after being inundated with clients looking for genital enhancements. Harley Street Medic, and that's the big place in London for top-notch doctors to have their shop. Harley Street Medic has warned of a rise in requests for genital jabs. Dr. Neetu Nirdosh specializes in facial enhancements such as Botox. He has pointed out the risks of applying cosmetic jabs to genitals. He says risks include nerve paralysis, bleeding, and loss of sensation. Men have also requested fillers in a bid to increase girth. Shameful. All right. More weird news, or more sensational news. Legal fight over 752-pound Brazilian emerald may be over after 6 years in court. This was an emerald that was found in Brazil, speaking of which. And they got this emerald up out of the ground, and somehow it was brought to America, and it's worth an incredible amount of money. It is worth $372 million, about a dollar, well, half a dollar a pound. That's not too bad, is it? Or half a million a pound. So it was in the court, and there was no clear history of who had bought it, but they finally, a businessman ended up with it. But it doesn't look like an emerald. It just looks like these long kind of tubes. It does look green, but... So how would you like a chunk of that one? I've got some stuff I'm going to have to tell you about tomorrow, one of which is they've got racial teaching in high schools in which black students are treated differently than white because of white privilege. And they have found that these schools are getting totally out of hand because the kids are not put under the same standards. And so it's created a chaos. Squirrel dies at California power station as it causes a power outage to 40,000 users. That's really incredible, isn't it? And it was all up and down. It's a place called, trying to see where this is from. This is from the Independent UK and El Cerrito. 45,000 people were out of power when a rodent scampered into a power substation in the town of El Cerrito, cutting power to 45,000 people. The squirrel did not survive. I hope PETA is up in arms over this. But anyway, wow, that one little squirrel caused a lot of damage. All right, well, thanks for listening into the show. We've got Mark D'Antonio and Kiki coming on tomorrow. It's a rare doubleheader. And they're really going to dig down into the evil that's going on at the county. Have a great day. You've been listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, and I'll meet you back in 22 hours. Ciao.